Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Celebrate our God-given freedom and faith while honoring our Blessed Mother with Ghirelli's USA Rosary. Each state is represented on this rosary's 50 beads. Red, white, and blue enamel adorn its patriotic crucifix. Get yours today. Shop www.ghirelli.com.
And welcome to our podcast. The name of the show is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, showing you how to remove any and all your debt, no matter how small, no matter how large the debt may be. We use biblical principles to show you how God intends for all of us to be handling money. There's no secrets to what we teach. Everything you need to know is in the Bible. And in our Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way, we'll point out these biblical principles. Plus, we have practical applications for you to follow to help you get rid of that debt. And the best part, you can live a debt-free life. And the first step is cutting cost. Now, we run into so many people that we mentor and coach with their budgets who are trying to make ends meet. They save for an emergency fund, they're paying off debt. And John, wouldn't you say that first step is cutting expenses?
Absolutely. And so we're going to talk about today ideas, ways to change your mindset. I mean, we're not talking about like, oh, use coupons or something like that. But these are some maybe non-traditional ideas for a lot of people anyway, to create a cost-cutting mindset.
And the first one is to pray. There's something that shook everybody up, because praying is not something you usually think of when you're trying to save money or pay off debt. But when you stop and pray, it gives you a sense of meaning and purpose that you just can't get any other way.
You know, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11, we hear the following, this part of the scripture is titled, The Answer to Prayers. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened.
Now, we're not saying to pray for money. We're saying to ask God to help you change your mindset so that you can do a better job of being a good steward of all the blessings he's given you.
Yeah, you can't pray for money. That's not right.
And you're not negotiating with God.
We're not
negotiating. No. That if you do this,
never
I'll do
negotiate
that.
With God.
Okay. Just want to make that clear.
Yeah, definitely.
I've tried it.
And how'd that work for you, Steve?
He's a tough negotiator.
He kind of has control, you know? So start your money mindset change with some prayer, and then continue to make prayer a priority as you move forward.
So I think the first thing that you should try to do is, for all that stuff that you want to buy, create a wish list. I think it's good to try to avoid instant gratification. I think that's one of the things that totally destroys most people's budget, is they want instant gratification instantly. What do you do when you have a wish list? Take the item or items. You can only have one, okay? We got to focus on one item. So whatever that one item is, put it down on the list. Find out three prices. Make sure you put the date down, because we don't want you to buy that item for 90 days. You need to wait. That is not instant gratification, okay? If at the end of 90 days, you still are really wanting that item, and this is in capital letters here, the money is in your budget, then you can buy it.
Okay, so I save the money, wait 90 days and buy it. What about the second thing that comes up on my wish list?
Well, if there's something else that you want to write on your wish list, you have to scratch through the first item. You can only have one item on your wish list at a time. Let's say you're 45 days into it and there's something else that you find that, oh, I really want that. I gotta have it. Scratch out the first item, write down the second item, put down the date, find three prices, and now wait 90 days.
In those 90 days, though, what are you doing? I mean, are you asking yourself, do I really need this? After 90 days, I can convince myself that I still need that 70-inch television.
Well, and the key is you have to have it in the budget, and that's the big thing here.
But even if it is in the budget, is it still something that I need to go out and buy?
Well, you probably don't need it, but there's nothing that says you can't have your wants. In fact, we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
But the thing we're trying to avoid is that constant instant gratification where every week you need something else that's bigger and bigger and you keep putting it on the credit cards. Mm-hmm. So the key here is to slow down and make sure it's in the budget. And a lot of times what will happen is it kind of goes into the background because it's been 90 days and you kind of forget about it. And we're not talking about things like groceries here. Or,
No.
It's the big things.
It's not
be a
wants,
right.
And it's the big things that are often going to be budget busters if you keep putting them on the credit card.
The other thing is, if you're on the fence about a purchase anyway, you got to wait.
Well, here's another one that kind of ties in with that. It's called the 10-second rule. And this is for stuff like when you're at the grocery store, when you're buying something you need and you see other things that you might want. So you're at the grocery store and you pick up the carton of ice cream that we really don't need, but we want, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Pick it out. Look at it for 10 seconds and ask yourself why you're buying it. Are you buying it because you need it? Are you buying it because you're going to use it? Or is it just calling your name? You know how things call your name when you walk down the grocery aisle?
I think they call your name more than they call my name.
Not just because I'm in the grocery store more than you are. But if that item is not something you really need and you don't really have a need for using it, then put it back. And that'll help keep you from making multiple impulse buys on a regular basis when you're doing things like grocery shopping.
You know, I think the other thing you could think about is, if I buy this item, am I going to have to buy something else to go with it?
Oh, like chocolate sprinkles and whipped cream?
Yeah, or, gee, if I get chips, do I need to get salsa and queso? And
you still have to wait 10 seconds? Because that ice cream will be melted.
Yeah, if you wait 10 seconds on either of those, you're going to...
But I do like that idea about waiting 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, it does give you... It's like when you ask someone a question, how do I look in this shirt?
Yeah.
To me, if they hesitate, it's not good.
It's like when your wife asks you if she looks fat in this dress.
Oh,
you
no.
never answer that question. All right, how about this? Concentrate on spending time, not money, entertaining your children. You know, so often parents throw money at kids. They buy them video games, or they sign them up for sports, or they sign them up for this activity or that activity. And really, what's most important to the kids is having the parents' attention.
A lot of those times, you're just getting somebody else to babysit.
Yeah, you're right.
Is what's happening.
Right. So buy an end roll from, the newsprint, like that blank newsprint paper, and create an art station, or play ball in the backyard, or head to the park, or have them help you plant a garden.
Well, you know, you had a great example of this over the weekend. Our grandson stayed with us. And his older brother is going to turn 19, and you wanted to create a kind of a present for him. Tell us how that went and what you did to engage this 10-year-old.
Well, the present was going to be a big card on a piece of poster board with candy bars as some of the words. So in other words, if you're working on your truck, don't be a Butterfingers. And instead of the word Butterfingers, there would be a Butterfinger candy bar. So the 10-year-old and I went shopping for candy bars. And then we sat around and made up funny sentences to go with all the candy bars we picked up. And he had a ball. I mean, well, in the first place, he's very imaginative. So he came up with a lot of fun things. But we had a really good time and he enjoyed that. And, you know, I spent, $12 on candy bars. All right, here's another idea. How about changing your vocabulary?
Yeah, I think that there's some words that we use which really make us think in one way. if we could change the words that we're using, then we can change the way we think. An example might be the words, I need. Do you really need it, or do you just want it? It might be want with a capital W, but do you need it or do you want it?
You know, and discerning the difference between needs and wants is a huge step in getting control of your money, because too often we convince ourselves we need what we just really want.
And how hard is that? Because I could see where that could be a challenge, because somebody in their mind will think, I really need that, even though it's just something I want.
It takes a long time to learn.
Especially the technology, smartphones.
Yeah.
We can justify anything.
Good. You're right.
You know, that's the way. How about this one? This one really bugs me. I saved. We go out and we buy something on sale and we avoid paying full price. And so we say, well, I saved $50. Well, you didn't spend that $50. You didn't put that $50 in your savings account. And then the big question is, did you really need to purchase that anyway, or did you just go out and buy it because it was on sale?
So saving means putting money in your savings account, not avoiding spending that money.
Yeah, if you can say, I saved $50 and your savings account went up by $50, then yes, you did save. Otherwise, you just avoided a cost.
What about my, using the word my, mine?
I think that's the third word that babies learn. Mommy, daddy, mine.
You know, when you say my car, there's kind of a sense of your personal self-worth that's tied to that car. So instead of using the word my, use the word the. So instead of my car, it's the car.
Or the red car, or the white car,
yep.
Or the Ford, or the Honda, or whatever kind it is.
The changes in how you say that also means that psychologically, the car is an item. It's not a personal statement of your worth.
You could take it even one step further and say it's God's car, because ultimately he's the owner of that.
I really hope that you heard one or two ideas that you can put into practice right away. The one that I really love is the one John and Evelyn mentioned about waiting 90 days. Try it. I know it sounds like, wow, 90 days is a long time, but you will be amazed at what happens during those 90 days. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. Hey, check out Evelyn's blog on cost-cutting mindsets, because she shares these same ideas in the blog. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, click on blogs. Okay, we shared the 90-day rule, waiting 10 seconds, spending time with your children rather than just throw money at them. So what else do you have, Evelyn?
So here's one for you, Steve. How about quarantining your credit cards?
And that means?
That means either freezing them in a bag full of ice water and putting them in the freezer, or taking them out of your purse, or putting them aside someplace where they're not easy to access. Here's another one that kind of goes along with quarantining your credit cards or freezing your credit cards, and that's to remove your credit card numbers from your online accounts. That makes it a lot harder to do that online spending, because you've got to go get your purse or wallet and pull up the credit card and pull it out and get all the secret numbers out of it and everything like that.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea, because so many times people are shopping, not in the stores, but they're shopping online. And if you can buy something with one click, you can do it before you even think about it.
Yeah, especially those that are compulsive.
Yes.
They just, yeah.
Yes.
So maybe there needs to be a 20-second rule for that.
No, I love that idea about removing and don't do the autofill.
Yeah.
Fill.
Autofill, mm-hmm. Yes.
How about creating a visual reminder of your debt payoff? You know, everybody needs a plan to help them get out of debt. So sit down and plot out which debts you're going to pay off and in what order, because simply having a plan goes a long way into actually putting that plan into action. Paying off your debts is a surefire way to put more money in your pocket in the long run.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I love visual types of things. I think most of society, not everybody, I understand, but I think the majority of society are visual learners. And so if you can put a picture of something, I wouldn't put my debt list on my refrigerator, for example. But
no, but you can put like a, here's my debt, and then as you pay it off, you just color the little bars that go out to it until it's all paid off.
Oh, yeah, but like I said, I might not put that on the refrigerator. I might put it on the back of the bedroom door.
Put it on the back of the door to the toilet. That's where debt belongs.
How hard is it to educate people to look at their credit card statement? Because now, and I love this, that information is on there. You know, how much you owe, what the life expectancy if you only pay a minimum. I mean, how hard are the individuals that you work with, the couples, do they look at this? Or do they not want to look at? They kind of cover that part up.
It depends on if they're in denial or not. If they're in denial, they don't even look at it.
Open the envelope.
Some of them, we've run into not even going to the mailbox.
Yeah.
Really?
And some people just don't even look at it because it's just too awful. They just make the minimum payment and keep going.
So someone like a redacted version.
Yes. What about staying out of the mall? You know, I like to go to the mall because we can watch people and it's always interesting to see the kinds of people that are walking around in there. But I don't usually purchase stuff when I'm in the mall.
Yeah, I think that for most people, the only time you should go to the mall is if you actually need to buy something. And, you know, you have something specific you're going to buy. If that's the case, you know, there's an awful lot of malls that have multiple entrances. And not only can you go in at one end of the mall or the other end, or you can go into the middle, but there's a bunch of stores that you can go into. And I would try to go into specifically if that store has an exterior entrance, I would go in that way, do my shopping in that store, and turn around and go back out to the parking lot. Because as soon as you start walking through the mall,
you're trolling for stuff to buy.
Absolutely.
Is this a lot of, along the lines of what you always recommend? Go shopping at a grocery store with a list.
With a list,
just
yes.
Just don't walk up and down aisles.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, because if you're walking up and down the aisle, sooner or later, something's going to jump off the shelf and say, mm-hmm. buy me.
Yeah.
More than just a something.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You know, you'll I don't know if anybody's ever really done a survey to say, if you go to the store without a list, you're going to spend so much more, you know, 30% more or whatever. You know, I know that they've done surveys and found that if you use a credit card instead of paying cash, and it's not just at the grocery store, it's on any kinds of purchases. But if you use your credit card instead of cash, you will tend to spend 30% more using credit than you will using cash. You know, I like credit cards because they just go so much further than cash. That's
until the numbers were off.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's one. How about learning about all the benefits your company has to offer so that you can take advantage of anything that's going to benefit you financially? You may have access to free or discounted tickets to sporting events or community events, or maybe there's discounted memberships you can take advantage of.
Well, you know, I was just reading today in the Wall Street Journal, there was an article that basically talked, about this exact thing. And they were saying that companies are trying to help, especially millennials. For example, Ford Motor Company now has available for all of their employees, the number was like $80,000 or 80,000 people in the newspaper, one-on-one financial counseling to help them set a plan for retirement and review the places and the types of investments that the employees are making. There's another company out on the West Coast that was talking about the fact that so many employees have huge student debts. And they have set up a program where they will contribute $25 a month towards paying off your student debt for anybody who all you have to do is sign up. And there was like 530 people that had already signed up. So there's a lot of things like that. You know, if you go in and talk to HR, you can find out and you can get some help. And it's pretty good help.
What about, here's one I like, take a different route to work. And that's especially powerful if you find yourself automatically stopping at the fancy coffee store or buying bagels on the way to work or whatever. So that's a constant drain on your wallet. And if you select a different route and avoid the temptation, even if the route is a little bit longer, then you avoid spending that money. So you'll save time and you'll save money.
You mean I can't go past the donut shop?
No, you can't go past the donut shop.
But they'll miss me.
If they send an AWOL address or an AWOL email to your wife, then you can go back once a month. What about finding daily inspiration for making intelligent money moves?
What are you thinking about?
Well, I'm thinking about maybe, I think you kind of halfway mentioned it earlier, maybe it's a personal goal like early retirement. So find something that makes you want to think about that personal goal, like a picture of a guy in a fishing boat or a picture of an airplane if you want to take trips, and post that someplace where you can see it and think about it and be conscious of it so that when you make decisions, that goal is in your mind.
Well, actually, we had a conversation with a young couple last night who have a number in mind. They want to get to this number, and when they reach that number, this is a money number, they will be able to retire and do the things that they want to do. Maybe start their own business or volunteer, you know, do a lot more time volunteering with ministries and stuff like that. And so they look at the net worth calculation basically on a monthly basis just to see that it's pretty much always going in the right direction. And they have no debt other than their house. So, you know, that's the type of thing you're talking about, Evelyn.
Yep, because I think that helps you stay focused. And another thing that can help you stay focused is to find a Bible verse to support your goal. You know, there's so many Bible verses when we really look into it that apply to day-to-day life 2,000 years later. And find one that will inspire you and motivate you, because it not only helps you reach your goal, but it also helps you integrate your finances into your life on a daily basis.
So having a goal where, let's talk about early retirement, you know, someone listening and they're like, geez, but I have debt. I have $10,000, $20,000 in debt. How can I even be thinking about retiring? I mean, what advice do you give to those people?
Pay off your debt.
So focus, that should be the number one goal right now.
That's the focus, yeah, absolutely.
Is to pay off the debt. And then step two will happen automatically because the money that you've been paying to the credit card company will now help fund the retirement.
Rolls into that retirement fund.
The only odd thing I'd say there is if your company matches your contribution to retirement account, you should be taking advantage of that too.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so it's not a one or the other. It's a both and.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if you may be thinking, well, I don't know the Bible that well. How am I going to come up with a Bible verse that will help me focus on the goal that I want to plan? And you know what? It is so simple. It's ridiculous. Go on the internet and just Google what you want to find. You know, if for example, I know there's going to be a workshop tonight at church, and they're talking about the parable of the lamp. Well, you say, well, where's the parable of the lamp? Well, it's in a couple of different gospels, but you just type in light or lamp or parable of the lamp, and boom, you'll get it. And, you know, I do that all the time. I'm looking for a specific verse. I can't remember it. So I just type in the things that I can remember, and boom, it pops right up. So it's a great way. That's not an excuse. I don't know the Bible very well.
Well, an American Bible Society is a great tool to use for Bible searches. They have all kinds of different versions of the Bible. What about asking for help from your inner circle of friends?
I think that's an absolutely great idea. Seeking counsel, we should always do it, especially if those people are on the same wavelength as you are. You know, they're focused on saving and getting ahead and doing the same kind of things that you're able to do.
At the very least, they're going to understand your situation, and they love you and know you. So that's a good thing to have in your back pocket, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's all these people that are out there fighting, doing the same thing you're doing. Never give up. You know, they're fighting the same fight. Talk with them. Pray with them. You can never pray too much. Pray for wisdom, for strength and guidance, and for perseverance.
There you have it, some wonderful cost-cutting moves that we shared. And if you missed any of these, or maybe you would like to share these with friends or family members, go to compasscatholic.org. Either click on the blog, look for the one that says cost-cutting mindset. You'll see a written version of the show, or download the podcast and share it with your family and friends. And before we leave you today, let's get to some emails. John and Evelyn, I have an opportunity to enter into a rent-to-own arrangement on a house owned by someone we go to church with. I have no experience with this type of arrangement. What do I need to know?
Well, first, the terms of this kind of a deal are completely negotiable. So ideally, you want to establish the purchase price in advance and make sure that you have some portion of the rent going towards the down payment of the house. Maybe one of the most important things is, even though I'm listing it second, is that you want to have a real estate attorney draft the agreement, because these kinds of transactions can be very complex because they are totally negotiable. And so you need to have everything in writing so there's no questions when you get to the point where you're ready to buy the house.
And it probably should be notarized too, right? The agreement should be notarized.
Yeah, I think the attorney can do that in their office.
Because you don't want this rent-to-own agreement to come between you and your friend, especially when it's a member of the church.
This next email, John and Evelyn, is about something that we talk about on a regular basis, the Compass Money Map. So here we go. Can you please remind me what the first few steps of the Compass Money Map are? Is there any place I can find it online?
The Compass Money Map has 7 destinations that take you to your true financial freedom, which is the final destination. So at destination 1, you start using a spending plan or a budget, and you save $1,000 for emergencies, so you don't have to whip out those credit cards when something happens.
Yeah, and at destination 2, you increase your emergency savings to 1 month's income and pay off all of your credit cards.
And then at destination 3, you increase your emergency fund savings to 3 months of income and pay off consumer debt such as your car loans, your student loans, and debts that come from furniture companies or stores.
You can download the Compass map from compasscatholic.org. And if you go to resources, you'll find it there.
And our final email. We are debt-free except for our mortgage and have a fully funded emergency fund. Good for you. Should I continue to save for retirement or pay off the house before contributing anything else towards retirement?
It sounds to me like you're at destination 5 on the Compass Money Map, and that's where your focus should be both on paying off the mortgage and investing or saving. So I'd split any monthly surplus in half, and I'd use half to pay off the house and the other half to go towards the retirement.
And if you would like John and Evelyn's advice on a financial situation, maybe you just want to see what they're thinking, simply send your questions to ask@compasscatholic.org. That email address again is ask@compasscatholic.org. For John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for downloading and listening to our podcast. And remember, we have a brand new one that we upload each and every Wednesday morning, bright and early. Simply go to compasscatholic.org. Click on podcast. Not only will you find the most current, but you'll find a complete library of all the podcasts that we've done. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we are from Compass Catholic Ministries.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.